Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thanks for being with me here today as we talk about the opportunity beyond the challenge. With every challenge that comes in our life, there is also an opportunity that comes along with it. Sometimes it's the opportunity to learn something. Sometimes it's the opportunity to learn something, how not to do things. You know what I mean? There's an old saying that says everybody's good for something. Some people encourage us to do better and others show us things we don't ever want to do. But there is an opportunity beyond the challenge. Often the things that come our way give us that opportunity to be able to rise above, to do more, be more, and really truly do the exciting things that we were always meant to do in our life, just because we rise to that opportunity that is inside of that challenge. Thanks so much for being here with me today. I so appreciate you. I love getting to spend our time together as we talk about thriving in our life and in our business. You know, if you're going to have a business, you need to have a thriving life too. It's really hard to not have one and the other and really feel like you're thriving. And so today we're going to spend some time together. I'm so blessed at the opportunity to be here in your life. And I really, really hope that you will just take this time today to be able to look at the challenges in your own life and then see from them the opportunities that are maybe even possibly hidden within them that can take you to places that maybe you never even thought of prior to that challenge that came up. And then from that opportunity, you get to go to places, do things, follow things, find things, maybe even create new things that you would have never thought of had you not been faced with that challenge. So today, let's find the opportunity beyond the challenge and learn together how to live as a thriving entrepreneur. I've got three great guests here for you today, and we're going to talk about some of the opportunities that they found in the challenges that life brought them and see how they lived as a thriving entrepreneur. Let's jump in to our first guest. Join me in welcoming Miguel Leal. Hey, Miguel, how are you doing today?
Hi, very good. Thank you for inviting me to your show. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being here with us. Tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Well, I'm original from Mexico, and I live in small and in the middle of the country is Guanajuato is the state. And I emigrated when I was 19 years old to United States. I moved to Wisconsin, and then I live in Chicago, and then I come back to Mexico again, more or less.
And you wrote the book, The House That Cheese Built. Tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write that book.
Yeah, my book is inspiring me because it was a little bit hard to grow up with no direction, and I really want to have achieve my goals, and I really push myself to be really, really focused in United States when I emigrated to start making cheese in United States. When I moved back, I didn't know how to work. I learned how to work in Monroe in the factory in Klondike, and that put me in the step that I was pretty interesting, because here in Mexico, I was kind of like a kid that go to school but didn't have no illusions yet. I didn't know how to work in Mexico. And I went to United States and started learning. That was a big step for me to move and start learning how to work in the cheese factory in United States and start building way up.
Yeah, so you started in the factory and you grew to the point where you had your own cheese company, correct?
Yes, I did. I did it. I catch all the opportunities the life was giving it to me. And with I never give up to push myself and try to get what I was trying to achieve. First of all is learn English. I didn't know when I moved to Wisconsin, I didn't know how to speak English. And I cannot develop my ideas, And I learned because I went to exchange of technology with them to start teaching them how to make a Mexican cheese. And I was supposed to learn how to make American cheese, cheddar, and Colby, Monterey Jack, all those kind of different cheese. That way, that was the deal. I teach them. But kind of like a life was giving me the opportunity because for some reason, the company decided to now make cheese, Mexican cheese, and start making feta. And I started my own cheese factory. I started my own there. I took the opportunity to start going with the Amish. They have a contest. Life gave me the opportunity to take it, and I win the contest and start make Mexican cheese and with the Amish people. And that was a very different because the milk with the Amish is grade B. That means it's not that clean and it's not that famous for drinking. It's just for make cheese or yogurt. And we from that one I started making only one type of cheese was cotija cheese in the beginning. And that opportunity the opportunity for me came when the Amish put the factory because they don't believe in the electricity, and they co-signed it for me and the factory, and then I started making cotija cheese and I sell it for a little bit higher price and I pay them more money, and the opportunity kind of like we went to a good partnership. They make more money, make Mexican cheese, and I was happy for giving me the opportunity to start making the first cotija cheese.
I love
And
that. What was the name of your company?
which one was it? What?
What was the name of your cheese company?
Mexican cheese producers. I started with the Amish, and then the Amish, I took the opportunity again with Darlington Dairy Supply in Wisconsin. And they sell equipment, and the Amish, they only have capacity to give me like 150,000 pounds of milk every day. And the market started growing so fast that I need to have a bigger place, and the Amish didn't want to grow, and I just moved to another facility bigger in Wisconsin to have more milk and have more way to go, sell more different types of cheese and the Mexican cheeses with this milk because Wisconsin have grade A milk and that is best quality of milk. That I'm giving the opportunity to open more fresh cheese and get more market because the milk is unlimited in Wisconsin. They have it's the state of the cheese.
I do. We used to refer to Wisconsin as the land of cheese and snow.
It is. I learned from the best cheese makers of Bullhausers. They are now them make feta cheese. They teach me really how to work. They are from Germany, I believe. They are from Swiss or German. But they are hard workers like I'm glad that they was my teachers. They are good people.
So, what do you hope people have as a takeaway after they read your book?
You gotta have a lot of discipline when you feel like you're drowning and you by yourself and everything. Just hang on tight and don't get into and the alcohol and don't start getting into any addictions. That way you try to look for your way out Keep going, working hard, and never give up. Always think your idea clear, you know. Always see bad times that you need to pass it, and you need to be thinking really clear. It's tough in life. And see, you get any confusion and you don't know how to decide because you precipitated. Like for me, I want to go back and I didn't have nobody to help me and to support me. And I had just to believe in myself. You know, that's what I tell the people. Don't give up right away. Don't get any addictions. Eat healthy. Don't drink too much, you know, to get crazy ideas. And don't let nobody to solve your problems. You'll be able to solve your own problems. That is what I think it is.
What would you say was the hardest part of building the company?
Plan it ahead all the time because I didn't have money. And that means when I started with no money, the Amish give me the support, give me the code signing. That means they have the milk and I have to save every money that I was making. I didn't get dizzy, you know, because some people happens is start receiving in a young age money. And well, the first thing they buy is a car or things that they don't need it or try to be show off. And you need to concentrate it and focus and know where you want to invest your money and think all the time like you can lose it, you know? That way, for sure, you'll be taking risk by in your own work. You know what I mean?
I absolutely do. So what are the things, though, that are different about your life now after having built such a successful company?
Well, now I am still an immigrant, you know, and because I went to United States, my life is in the United States. I went back to the university, to Wisconsin, to start putting a little bit of science into the fresh cheese because the taste of the cheese, when you turn it industrial, you mass produce it, it changed the flavor. Kind of like a taste only to a little bit of milk and that's it. And we want to put a little bit science in that one. And by February this year, I have to standardize the standard of the identity of the fresh cheese. That way it be safe to make and everybody can do it one recipe. You know, that is the chief that I want to, the thing that I want to do in the next month. But what happens in Mexico, when I'm here, it's so difficult to understand the mentality of Mexicans that my people that I didn't see for a long time ago, and when I see them now, but I don't see the changes, it's a little bit frustrated. It's kind of like you don't have a place to live anymore. It feels weird, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I concentrated and eat healthy. And in my farm right here, in my house, that I make my house to really distract me. It was a cornfield and I built from nothing, from the ground. I am not an architect. I use my imagination to start getting a little bit crazy and wild. And I put a lake and I put everything in the middle of nowhere. And that's how they keep my mind a little bit busy, you know, now. That's what I'm doing.
Love it. So what's your favorite part of the book?
Really, all the book is my favorite because I cannot tell you, when I passed the life of my dad teach me in a really cruel way when he drowned me and swing like a dog. I regret it in that time. And now that my dad is he's already passed away and everything, and he don't see why I turned to be, you know. That part is the most exciting for me, how I took it, because make me better person. Even if my dad don't love me or don't want me in this world or never support me, I took it, and that is the best part of me, you know. That knows and see the opportunities that I have to be, that I can take in life to always get better.
So, what's your plans for the book? What would you like to see come out of having put the book out?
I would like to see the people don't give up right away, you know, and understand why the, see, they have an idea, everything is possible, you know, to achieve. You just have to fight it for it. So don't quit right away. Don't get answers for your stomach and think your answers. See, you have a problem. Don't give me one solution. Think three or four solutions. That way you can never fail which one is the correct one. Don't get angry. Don't get pissed off. Don't lie to yourself to make the right decisions. That is what I try to put in my book, you know, to be the tenacity to keep going and focus and get control to yourself. And most of it, and trust in yourself.
What's next for you? What are you going to do beyond the book? Are you going to start doing some speaking or some teaching of leaders, or what's next for you?
Now I'm focused. In February 29, I have to be in the University of Wisconsin, kind of like a set up the formula for the cheese, and that one that takes me a while, and I will dedicate it 5 years of my life to that project, you know. And I'll be back and forth in Mexico, and I think so that'll be enough. And if my book keep going and the people, I keep going, I will write a second book, because I have a lot of things to talk about yet that I'll keep going learning, you know. But I would like to pass it and see where the book takes me. And I hope so turn it to a movie.
I love that. Well, I do encourage everybody get the house that Cheese built, The Unusual Life of the Mexican Immigrant Who Defined a Multi-Billion Dollar Global Industry, Miguel Leal. Miguel, before I let you go, give us a few words of encouragement.
And explain what is encouragement.
Something for us to live by that can make us better people.
That's a good one. And a short one is, don't try to lie to yourself. Inside of you, there's the, see the problems and at different angles. Don't get the right first answer that you want to get right away. Think about some of the answers, but it's a lot of solutions on it to do it before you make a decision. And these three decisions in life for me, they really changed my life. One of them is what I decide what I want to do in my life. You know, you have to be really focused in what you want to decide and what do you want to do in life. You have to be happy doing it. The second one, which person you want to marry with. That one, see, is going to be your right arm, your whatever, your best friend or whatever. See, you trust too much in a person. You want to give everything to you that you lose part of it or you know? And what I say is don't lose your personality for choosing a woman, you know? And the third one is how many kids you want to have. Those 3 points, they will never, they always and want to change your life forever. You know? You have to be choosing really careful. You have to choose really careful. You know, because that can help you or push you to the top or get under. You know?
Absolutely. Well,
That
again,
is.
I encourage everybody to get the house that she's built. Miguel, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate it for you inviting me to your show.
First off, I love that book name, The House That She's Built. I also really, really love that kind of cheese. I'm pretty into most kinds of cheeses, actually. But I think it's so cool when you can take some little thing that you learned growing up or in your life and then find an expertise in it. And then have some challenges that come along the ways that ends up making you into or taking you to an even greater, even better place that you never imagined. That challenge that at one point for all of us, when we're facing that challenge, seems impossible and insurmountable, then becomes the thing that helps us really grasp a hold of the we that we were meant to be. I love that. I hope that you found some inspiration in Miguel's story, and I look forward to hearing from you. You can hashtag Thriving Entrepreneur what you learned from this particular segment. And with that, we're going to jump into our first commercial break. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third-generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. This is Steve. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we talk about the opportunity beyond the challenge. What are those challenges that you're facing right now? Are there possibly some really cool opportunities that are being presented by just simply following where that challenge might lead you and finding within it the opportunity to do the thing that you're really truly meant to do? Sometimes we discover the most amazing things inside of the challenges that face us. With that said, I've got another great guest here for you that's going to talk just about that very thing. Let's jump right into our next guest. Join me in welcoming Chelsea Hewsom. Hey, Chelsea, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being here with us. So first off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Well, I am a mother of two young boys. I live near Denver, Colorado. I'm married to my best friend, and I currently own a small construction company here. And so I own and operate that. And then I just wrote my first book, which is coming out very soon. And then I also am a speaker.
That's awesome. Tell us a little bit more about your book.
So it is called Real Vibes Only, Unapologetic Confessions of a Hot Mess Mompreneur. So it's really just a compilation of a bunch of short stories from my life of things that I've overcome. Some are more intense, more traumatic. Some are kind of lighter, some in the middle. And it's really just driving home the point that we all go through adversity. We all go through hard times. And when we're in the tough stuff, we feel like it's going to break us at that time. And it's just to remain hopeful and power through, take care of yourself, take care of your health, your mental health, and that will help you get through it. And really you'll come out so much stronger on the other side.
I love that. Looking forward to that book.
Thank you.
So talk to us a little bit about your business. I mean, you're in kind of a cool, but yet a little bit rare space being a woman in the construction industry. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I think there's only about 10% of women in construction. And I think that's total. I think the amount of women business owners is way lower than that. But we do core drilling, which is the circular cutting in concrete, in floor or wall. And then we do a thing called ground penetrating radar. So that is scanning the concrete before we cut, really for kind of a safety precaution to see if there's anything in there that's dangerous before we cut into it. And we're small. This 2024 will be my fourth full year, and we've over doubled each year. Just really have found kind of a niche. We can get on site very quickly. I've been able to hire really, really amazing technicians, and they kind of took a chance on me saying, "Hey, do you want to come work for me?" And it's really turned into something special. They're so good at what they do. I kind of let them go out and do it. And I'm here as they need for any help or support. But it's been really exciting. I love our clients. I love the employees I have are fantastic. So it's been really fun to do, and I've learned a lot.
I bet. I'm curious, where did it start? How did you come up with the idea of, you know what I want to do for a living is drill holes in concrete?
Right. Yeah. I like to say I wasn't playing with Barbies. Like, I'm going to own a construction company someday at all. So out of college, I have a broadcast journalism and a Spanish degree. And so I thought I wanted to be the next Barbara Walters. Then when I found out I'd make like 20 grand and work nights and weekends, I was like, not for me. So then I got a job at an experiential marketing trade show company. And I did that for 6 years. And then I was like, I don't feel like I'm doing anything worthwhile with my life. So I quit that. I got my master's in education, and I became a high school Spanish teacher for 10 years. And I did that. And then the last year, I just did not love it anymore. And I knew at that point I had to do something else. I had a really hard time. I've applied all over the place, got zero calls. I was like, wow, did I pigeonhole myself? Or I don't know, I would hire a teacher in a second. But I thought, wow, no one's calling me. So I took a job as an office manager for a different construction company, and that got me into commercial construction. And it was definitely trial by fire. I really didn't get trained at all. I just kind of got thrown in, and there were a lot of tears during that. That was like, oh my gosh, what did I just step into? I learned a lot there. But that prepared me then to run a company. So I worked that job, and then I started this company in March of 2020. Because what else were you doing at that point, right? And so I built that company and then worked that other job actually until April of 22. And then have just run this company. So just kind of saw a niche in the market. There's not a lot of companies that do what we do. And I started the company just with the scanning. And then as I was out on sites, clients would be like, well, hey, can you do a core drill since you're here? And so now I do a ton of core drilling. It just kind of came out of client demand. And so here we are. And we, like I said, bigger companies, it might take weeks for them to get on a site. We're usually like a few days out, so we're a lot quicker. And just, clients like us because we're easy to work with, and they get me every time they call, and they get to know the technicians, they get to know me, and it's really just about building relationships. That's literally all business and life is just building relationships and showing people you care about them.
That's amazing. I love it. I love how you didn't want to be a journalist because they don't pay very well. And so your next choice was to become a school teacher because we all know right. They get paid so much.
Right. It wasn't much better. I'm like, but I need to be doing something worthwhile with my life and making a change. And, and I did. And I still see students all over the state, really. And I've even seen some weirdly out of state traveling, and I'm like, wait, I know you. And so that is by far, it's the coolest thing ever. They're getting married, they're having babies, they're graduating college, they're out doing life, and it's so cool to see them. So it was definitely something I was meant to do. And I always, I feel like I'm the queen of reinvention. I've like hopped into so many different, completely different things, but you learn from it, and you learn just how to be a person. And, so really I wouldn't change any of it because I've learned so much, and it's brought me to where I am today.
Well, I love that very much. So talk to us a little bit about some things you've learned in business. Let's narrow it down to what is the one thing that you wish you would have known when you started the company that you know now?
Well, there's a few things really. I first surround yourself with people that are doing what you're doing and doing it better than you. Luckily, I've become really good friends with quite a few women that own very large, successful construction companies in different areas. And so, surround yourself with people that can help you, that can give you advice, that you can learn from their mistakes. So I definitely relied on that a lot. And then also, I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they jump in and we work too much. Like in the middle of the night, I wake up, I think of work stuff. It's constantly on my mind. My to-do list is never, ever, ever done. And there's always things I could be doing. So really, what I would do and what I've been focusing on is building your ideal life around what you want it to be. What are your priorities? Set your boundaries. What are your non-negotiables? And then after that, then you bring in the company. Because we all know we could work ourselves to death and we could be in our office until midnight every night and then starting at 5 a.m. or just working through the night. I mean, you really could. Like I said, there's so much to constantly be doing, but it's figuring out what's really important to you and then building your life around that. And I think I would hope more people would do that because, then you're avoiding burnout. You're actually like enjoying your life because at the end of all this, if I'm quote successful and I've lost my health, my family hates me. I'm just absolutely miserable. Like, what was that all for? That is absolutely not what I want to do.
I love that. So, can you share with us a story or two of some of the things that are kind of a cool nuance to being a woman in the construction industry?
Sure. I mean, I think I have been lucky to meet a lot of women that have come before me. So they really have paved the way, truly. It's not me. So many women. I have a friend who worked for Colorado Department of Transportation like 30 years. She's seen it all. She was doing this back before, it was like, oh, yeah, Women in Construction Week and all of this stuff, right? She's been doing it. And so a lot of these women I've met have been doing this for a long time. And so I've learned so much from them. And I see it as an asset, to be honest. Like I'm a confident woman. I go in, I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm talking about. And really, like I said, it's all about creating relationships and I'm good at that and I really enjoy it. So it's not, I go into different events or things. It's not just talking business. It's talking like, hey, how are your kids? How was your vacation in Nebraska? How was this? How was that? Talking about life. And I think truly that sets me apart because I'm not just in there talking business. I actually care about these people as people. And so really, I think, like I said, I owe it to all the women that have come before me. And it's a lot probably easier for me to step into this now than 20, 30 years ago, to be honest. And I get respect because that's what I give to other people and, focus on the relationships. And it's been really cool. I look at it as an asset because there aren't as many women in there. And if you walk into a room and it's 95% men, you're just randomly you're gonna get noticed. And then you go do your thing and meet everybody. And I think it's definitely an asset.
I love that. Well, what one piece of advice would you give to mompreneurs?
Oh man. I would say that you absolutely have to take care of yourself and it's not going to be easy. I wake up really early every morning and I go to bed early. I need sleep first of all, or otherwise I'm a psycho. I go to the gym first thing in the morning. I'm done by 7 a.m. That's when my phone starts ringing off the hook. And then I set the tone for my day and I build in things that I need to do to feel really good. Probably the biggest thing is look at your habits. Recently, I didn't drink a lot, but recently I just completely quit drinking because I would have two or three drinks and I would have a headache all day the next day and I'd feel cranky with my kids. And I'm like, what am I doing? This is wasting my energy and my time. And so I'm like, you know what? It's not serving me. I need to be the best version of myself. And that is definitely not helping me. Also, yeah. So you're look really at your habits and don't, there's a stigma about being a woman and just in general is like, oh, we got to give everything to everybody else and make sure everybody else is okay. But actually we have to be okay first or we will never be good for anybody else. So it's like, don't feel shame. If you're taking care of yourself, it's not selfish. You absolutely have to do it because we wear so many hats and we do so many things. So it's that you have to set boundaries with your time and not say yes to everything that you're asked to do, or you don't need to go build this ridiculous Halloween, you know, whatever for your kids' party. Like, it's going to be okay. You can buy some cookies and send them. It's, you know, like give yourself a break sometimes and set boundaries with your time. And build and focus on the things that make you feel good. And then you will be a much better mother, entrepreneur, everything. It totally is a game changer if you focus on your habits first.
I love that so much. Talk to us just before we let you go a little bit more about the book and what people can expect from it.
Yeah. So my book will be available. So it's Real Vibes Only, Unapologetic Confessions of a Hot Mess Mompreneur. Really, my goal is to, I hope people read this and can relate and be like, man, I've been through something similar, or they laugh a little bit. Maybe they cry, who knows, but maybe they don't feel, I hope people feel less alone and they're, you know, they realize like, hey, she's not perfect and she's writing a book for all these people to read. And, you know, it's okay to actually be real and authentic and vulnerable and raw and just put yourself out there and own your story and own how it's got you to where you are today in life. So that will be out February 14th on Amazon. I'm super excited. So I'm sure we can link it in the show notes, but yeah, I really hope people can read it and identify with some different stories or feelings or just feel seen and heard.
I love it. Well, Chelsea, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We look at the challenges that the world brings us. They tell us that particular industry isn't for you because of whatever reason. Or people in that industry throw obstacles up in your way because they don't see you as the strong, powerful person that you're meant to be in that industry. Or maybe there's other challenges and you learn how to thrive in those challenges because you see them not as obstacles, but rather as opportunities to be even more the you that you were always meant to be and really truly live your life as a thriving entrepreneur. We're going to take another break and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself and tell you, I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. This is Steve. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we talk about the challenge, but we talk about the opportunity beyond the challenge. So we want to make sure that you understand and that you know that we're acknowledging that there is definitely a challenge. I don't want you to in any way feel like, oh, well, you just don't understand the challenge that I've got going on. Absolutely, we know that and see that. But within that challenge, often there is an opportunity. In fact, I'm going to get a little bold here for a second, and I'm going to say always there is an opportunity within that challenge for you to learn, to grow, to develop, to pivot, to do all the things that are hidden within that challenge that can make your life better and allow you to truly live a thriving life. We do have one last guest, and he is going to help us talk a little bit about overcoming some of those challenges. With that said, let's jump into our next guest. Join me in welcoming Chris Younger. Hey, Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing really good, thanks. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Well, let me ask my wife how I show up. Sometimes not too well, I'm sure. But I'm the CEO and co-founder of a group here in Denver called Class Six Partners. It's really a financial services firm. We have an investment bank, so we work with business owners when they're getting ready to exit. We also have a consulting group. We call it Pathfinder, which gets businesses ready to go to market, kind of gives them the test ahead of time. And then we have a family office on the back end that works with those same entrepreneurs and manages money for them. And as I like to joke, I've got one of the best jobs in the world because I get to work with entrepreneurs every day. It's been a blast.
I love that. So what are some of the challenges that you find working with entrepreneurs versus, I don't know, people who quote unquote have a regular job?
Well, entrepreneurs, almost by definition, right, they're going to be quirky. They're going to be different. They're going to have very specific demands and needs, and which, you know, hey, look, it can sometimes make them challenging to work with, but that's what we live for. They do so much good for our community and for the communities at large in terms of, you know, they're the primary folks doing the hiring and responsible for economic development. And so notwithstanding some of the challenges, we love working with them and wouldn't want to do anything different.
So give me an idea of your day-to-day life. I mean, what kind of things do you love doing about what you do?
So I log my time periodically just to see how much time am I spending with entrepreneurs in my day-to-day. And if that's more than 60 or 70%, that's a great day. Obviously, I spend a lot of time with my team, working with them to, you know, whether it's helping with a transaction or helping a business owner think differently about how to grow their business or about how to scale their business. And then obviously in the deal world, we're solving problems. You know, I joke that the deal business is really just a problem solving business. And so we're doing that all day, every day, on behalf of those clients. And, it's like I said, it's, you know, we're always faced with something new and something different. So we're always learning and we're working with, you know, exceedingly talented, sharp, folks that have, you know, basically put everything on the line to build their business. And so it's a lot of fun.
I love that. So when we start thinking about the investments and the kind of things that are more appealing to entrepreneurs, I mean, on the one hand, they're a little bit more willing to risk, but on the other hand, I think they understand the value of their money sometimes a little better. What do you find? Do you find that to be true?
For sure. I think entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs are always watching spending, right? Making sure that they're putting their money towards the absolute best use. And that can be whether it's in their business, it could be charitably or with respect to how they're investing their own capital as it comes out of the business. I like to say, I think most entrepreneurs, as they're building their business, are taking on and will take on more risk than, you know, 99% of the population out there. And so when they do get liquidity, right, after they sell their business, you know, part of our job on the wealth management side is to make sure they never have to go back to work. And so, you know, as I like to tell them, you've taken on more risk than most for your lifetime. Now it's time to, you know, manage the capital probably a little bit more conservatively so that we don't run out. And we can fund everything that you've wanted to fund throughout the course of your life and, you know, put them in a good spot.
These days, people are living longer. Does that by nature mean that they should plan on retiring later? Or, you know, I mean, how does it work so that a person's money lasts for their whole life now?
Well, it's a good question. And I think for most of our clients, you know, their business is a lot tied up into their identity. And so it's not surprising to us to see them retire typically later than, you know, a lot of folks that might be working in a traditional job. From a timing standpoint, it really comes down to what's perfect for them. You know, for me personally, you know, I probably will work a long time, you know, until I'm sitting in the chair drooling, because I just, you know, I love what I do. And I think that's true for a lot of our clients as well, where, you know, they may want to take some chips off the table in selling part of their business. A lot of them want to stay involved in their business and enjoy the challenge and enjoy the game of business. And so, you know, I think personally and psychologically, I'm not surprised to see a lot of our clients working longer. For them financially, obviously, you know, again, our business owners they're running companies that, you know, on average are worth $50 to $100 million. And so, you know, they're earning they're making a lot of money while they own their business. And so obviously the longer that they do that, the more liquidity that they'll have and the, you know, the greater the insurance they have that, you know, they'll never have to work again. But it's like I said, I think it's just a little bit different for entrepreneurs because so much of their psychology is tied up in the business. So that that tends to make them want to work longer.
What is the craziest long-term goal that you ever helped somebody reach?
Well, we had a client, he ran a software business, and he was involved with a charity in, I think it was the Dominican Republic, building houses. And at 17, I think he told me, he set a goal that he wanted to build, I can't remember the exact number, it was 100 or 200 of these homes. And I can't remember exactly how much each cost, but I think it's, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 to build one of these homes. And part of his goal in the transaction was to be able to fulfill that commitment that he made when he was 17, which is to go build 100 of those homes, which he was able to do. And so I don't know how crazy that is, but it was really good evidence from what we see with a lot of our clients, which is so many of them are really charitably inclined. I think that gets lost a lot of times when people look at business owners. But we, you know, we've done some calculations on the deals that we've done. We've done about $3 billion worth of transactions, and we estimate probably $250 million of that has found its way back into the community. And so it's been, you know, that's really gratifying and fun to be a part of. But that's probably the craziest one.
For the new entrepreneurs that are out there just starting, probably they haven't even thought about investing anything other than just putting money back into their company. Where's the best place to start other than, you know, just putting money back into the company?
Well, I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, their level of confidence and conviction in themselves is such that, to your point, and we see this with a lot of business owners, almost all of their capital goes back into their business because they believe that's going to generate the best return for them. Now, obviously, it's highly concentrated and highly risky for them. But we do encourage business owners, you know, again, because pretty much, you know, all the chips are on the table and they continue to bet on red over and over and over again. But it is a good practice to take, you know, maybe that's a half a year to a year's worth of living expenses and just sock that away, something that's pretty safe. And in the business, we're huge advocates of trying to manage a healthy balance sheet. So that means keeping enough cash on the balance sheet such that if you do run into challenges, you know, you're not forced to make really dumb long-term decisions at the, you know, to be able to preserve short-term liquidity. And so it's again, for our clients, because they're, you know, their equity exposure in their business is so significant and that equity is illiquid, it's risky, highly volatile. to counterbalance that type of risk, most entrepreneurs, we think, should keep their cash, look, in relatively conservative investments, because you never know when you're going to need it.
I love that. So for a lot of us, I have to put myself in this category, even though I've been in business for a long time. You are right. We do kind of make the bet on ourselves. Talk to me about the downside to that, though. What does it do to us if we don't also have, you know, a portfolio with somebody like yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's a obviously, again, when all your chips are on the table and they're all bet on your business, you know, when you have challenges with the business, which you will. It was during COVID, I was interviewing a lot of our clients about their journey as an entrepreneur. And almost every single one that I talked to 30 or 40 of them, every single one of them had at least one near-death experience in their company, meaning, you know, there were periods of time, and these can stretch into years, where they weren't sure if they were going to make it. And so from a, again, from a risk management standpoint, for, you know, for an entrepreneur and their family, it's smart for them to, again, get some cash out of the business, put it into something safe, so that when the business does have challenges, either they have capital that they can take care of their family with, or capital that, you know, if they've got enough of, that they can help finance the business to try to get it beyond some of those rough patches. But it's a, you know, the level of risk, I don't know if most people appreciate just how much risk entrepreneurs take on when they're building their business and going through, you know, the volatility that is absolutely predictable for these companies.
I love that so much. So we talked about the coolest thing you've helped somebody do. What was the thing that you wish somebody would have listened to your advice that they didn't?
Well, as I mentioned, entrepreneurs are opinionated. They're highly confident. They know that betting on themselves has worked well in the past. And so sometimes, you know, they can sometimes have an overconfidence as it relates to navigating through a transaction. And you know, we've had a few instances where a business owner, you know, somebody has called them out of the blue and made them some really attractive offer for their business, and they've gone down that path only to be really disappointed. And, you know, we always tell business owners, look, you want to, the private markets for a company are highly inefficient, and you want to try to make them as efficient as you can, meaning you've got to get a lot of people at the table to try to maximize the value of the business, but also to maximize the odds that your deal actually gets done. And so, again, those business owners that have ignored that advice, I think have done so to their detriment. Both, you know, some, most times the deal doesn't close, so it's really disappointing that they've spent all that time and money and energy on a deal that doesn't happen. Or if the deal does close, they've, you know, they've definitely left 30 or 40% on the table because they didn't have, you know, a bunch of other buyers bidding up the price.
That's good. I'm learning so much. We should talk for about an hour and a half, but that's a whole different story. You know, let's talk about the kind of folks that you like to work with. You know, when is a person ready to work with you? What do they need to have in place? That kind of thing.
Yeah, for our, again, all of our family office clients, our wealth management clients, come to us through our investment bank. And a lot of those clients come to us through our consulting arm, the Pathfinder business, that works with companies a year to 5 years before they're getting ready to go to market. And again, our average transaction size at the bank is about $75 million. And so, you know, if you rewind for our Pathfinder business, hey, if these businesses are doing more than $5 or $10 million in revenues, you know, they're making money, they're growing at a good rate, those are great clients for us to start to work with, because we can not only have an impact on their growth strategy for that business to help them optimize the results that they're going to get as they take their business to market, we can also work with them personally to really work through tax strategies, estate, income tax, think about, hey, what are the implications of wealth for their kids, and to think about, you know, a really solid financial plan for them to make sure that when they do sell their business, they've got more than enough to meet their needs is what they've articulated in terms of what they want to get done in their life. So again, these, our clients are all business owners, and somebody who's, you know, maybe 5 years away from selling or sooner, those are great clients for us to talk to and see if we can be of help to.
And for the folks that would like to work with you, how can they get in contact with you?
Sure. You can reach me at Chris at class 6partners.com. That's class Roman numeral six, class VI partners.com.
Well, Chris, before I let you go, give us one last piece of advice about, you know, the stuff that we can and should be doing right now to invest in our future.
You know, I'm a big proponent of kind of lifelong learning. So I'm a huge advocate. Sometimes it annoys my kids, but, you know, read as much as you can, invest in yourself and in your own development. That's by far going to be your best return on investment. And try to, as you're thinking about careers and jobs and where you're spending your time, you know, try to find those jobs where you are going to learn a lot, where you are going to develop. It's not always going to be comfortable. In fact, it probably shouldn't be, but that's when you're going to develop and grow and learn. And that's, at least in my career, that's what I found the most gratifying and the most rewarding.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Thanks, Steve. Good to chat with you.
Absolutely. Your business is going to have challenges. Your life is going to have challenges. The key is not to buckle underneath of those challenges, but to begin to look for the opportunity. You know, there's the age-old thing that I've said many, many times before. Often what we find is that our cloud doesn't actually have a silver lining. In fact, what it really is just a pile of silver covered in cotton candy. And when we really, truly look at it, we begin to see the opportunity that's available within it. And it's not anymore that horrible challenge that it felt like, and I'm not demeaning at all how much it feels that way, but it becomes for all of us that opportunity that excites us and ignites us and gets us up in the morning and gets us going, so that we go out into the world taking on the challenge and meeting that opportunity head on and being the best us that we can be, because we know that you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose, and the world needs you. And when you embrace that, when you take that to heart, you begin then looking at each of your challenges and smiling and thanking them for the opportunity that's coming. Doesn't necessarily mean the challenges are fun, but it does mean that the challenges have that opportunity in it. And once we're beyond it, we'll be like, oh, I'm so glad that I went through that transition so that I can be the me that I'm now because I overcame. In all the things that you've been through, all of those challenges, I see you and I see how you found the opportunity to be a thriving entrepreneur. Until we're together again next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions at wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third-generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world.
Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today.